Well, I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving celebration. It's a great opportunity to remind us to give thanks to God, you know, and I hope you've had time to reflect on the many ways that God has blessed your lives, the many ways that we have to be thankful to Him for our lives. And today, we are going to finish up our consideration of the armor of God, those tools that God has given us to help us in our battle, to live by the Spirit, and to withstand the schemes of the devil. We have been considering these things over the past several weeks as we talk about how do we really live out the gospel in our lives and allow God to work in us, to see the transformation, becoming the people that He created us to be as we hold on to that new creation we are in Christ. And so we have been looking at Ephesians chapter 6, this armor of God that Paul describes. So if you'd like to open up your Bibles to Ephesians 6, we'll go ahead and get started there today. And if I could, I would love to have a volunteer read this passage for us this morning, Ephesians 6, 13 through 18.
Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, that this is in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Great. So we have talked about all these different pieces so far. The belt of truth. We need to have truth girded around us. We need to hold on to the breastplate of Christ's righteousness in our lives. We walk with readiness that God gives us as we try to walk out this gospel and we turn to Him in all situations that we face in life. We take up the shield of faith, holding on to that faith as our foundation in life. We wear the helmet of our salvation in Christ. We talked about the word of God last week being that sword. And then the final piece that Paul talks about is praying. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So prayer is one of those basic activities of the church, things that we're going to talk about all the time. It's going to be part of our lives as Christians every day. Next to being students of the Word, probably prayer is one of the biggest activities of our lives as Christians. We should be known as people of the Word and people of prayer if we are living out the life that God calls us to live. So prayer, like the rest of the armor, is a gift from God, not something to be taken for granted. Just consider what an amazing gift that is for a moment. The Creator of the life has invited us to have conversation directly with Him. We don't have to go through anyone else. We don't have to wait our turn. We don't have to say the right thing. Just every one of us common day people can go to the Lord of the universe and speak to Him on a daily basis, have direct communication, and He gives us open access to Himself. So this gift of prayer is something that we should cherish every day in our lives. Now, in considering it as a piece of armor, prayer is a tool by which we actively call upon the power of the Lord Almighty into every situation of our lives. We ask Him to be with us, to direct our thoughts, to change our thoughts, to give us words, to show us actions to take. And all these things, as we apply them in that battle of our lives to live by the Spirit. Through prayer, we share our struggles with the Lord, and we ask for His help. We ask Him to come and directly intervene in our lives. In our focus on prayer today, I really wanted to take some insights from what Paul describes about prayer in Ephesians 6 here. So the first thing he says is to pray in the Spirit. Now think about what that means. I think about seeking the presence of the Holy Spirit in that moment that we're praying. We're drawing close to Him, asking Him to come and fill us. asking him to make us aware of his presence. As I'm thinking about this, of course, God is with us all the time, right? But we're not always aware of it. And through prayer, we open ourselves up to an awareness of him, and we ask him to make us more aware of him. In praying in the Spirit, we ask for the Spirit's guidance of our prayers. One of the things that I have learned throughout the years, even before I begin to pray, especially with a group, and I'm in that moment where I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to say. I just teach myself to pause and say a silent prayer to the Lord himself, myself, and just say, what do I say, Lord? Give me words. And just wait for those words to come. So we're inviting the Spirit to speak through us, to give us words to say. Sometimes in our struggles against sin, praying in the Spirit, we're calling upon God to show us the path to take. We're trusting his Spirit to speak for us. And Paul touches on this in Romans 8:26. Let me just read that for you. Romans 8:26-27. He writes, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groans and words that cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So again, another great gift that prayer is, with God's presence with us. When we're praying in the Spirit, we understand that the Spirit can speak directly to the Father for us. When we don't know what to say, he expresses our needs in groans and that words cannot express. He knows our hearts. He knows the Lord's mind and can intercede for us in accordance to God's will. And that's another piece of praying in the Spirit. I think it means seeking God's will for our prayers, actively setting ourselves aside and saying, God, let your will be done. And I have a few scripture passages that demonstrate that as well. First of all, is Matthew 6, where Jesus is teaching people how to pray. This is the famous Lord's Prayer that so many of us know. And it begins, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And so part of our prayers is simply to ask God, let your will be done in our lives, Father. Show us what that will is. Turn my heart toward your will, Father. This was something Jesus demonstrated just before he was arrested. We read this in Luke chapter 22. Jesus was going into the garden to pray right before he was arrested. Luke records part of that prayer. Luke 22:42 says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. What I find great about that is Jesus is expressing his desire. He's saying, Father, if it's possible, take this away from me. Don't let me have to sacrifice myself. Right? He expresses what he wants. But then right after that, he says, but Lord, your will be done. If you want it, I'll go ahead and do it. Right? And so it's okay for us to call out to God and say, God, this is what I want to have happen in my life. This is what I'd like to see. But then let's couple that with, but Lord, let your will be done. And let me accept your will. If it's not your will for me to receive this thing that I want, help me to see the greatness of your will. And finally, Jesus, again, teaching us to pray in John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And there's just that qualifier at the beginning of that. Ask whatever you wish, but remain in the Lord. Remain close to what God wants. Seek the life that God wants for us. So that is praying in the Spirit, seeking out God's will for our lives. Now, if we go back to Ephesians 6 and continue on looking at what Paul said, he said, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So prayer is for every situation of your life. It's for giving thanks and praise to God in the good times, and it's for calling out to God for support and help and direction in the hard times. I encourage you to learn to develop an open dialogue with God. Don't just reserve prayer for those big moments when you think you have a need, but speak to God in every moment of your life, right? When you're driving along on your way to work, think about all the things that God has blessed your life with, or what's going to be happening in your day, and just offer those up to God. When you're going through your daily routines, include God in those moments, giving him thanks and praise, calling out to him, just being close to him. This is something that James emphasizes in his letter, James chapter 5. Talks about praying in all occasions. So let's open up to James 5. Just right after the book of Hebrews, if you're jumping through there. James 5. I'm going to read verses 13 through 15. Where it says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. And I picked this passage out just because it emphasizes calling out to God in so many different situations of life. There are many other different situations. Every one of them are moments for us to call on God, to invite him into our lives. And back in Ephesians again, Paul says to be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And this to me emphasizes once again that being a Christian is not a solitary existence. We are called to be a family of God. We are called to community. And in Christ, we are bound together and called to care for one another. We can help one another in the spiritual battles that we face. We can help one another withstand the attacks of the enemy by calling out to God on behalf of one another, as Paul says to do, praying for all the saints, all your brothers and sisters in Christ, calling out to God to be present for them in whatever situations they face. And this, again, is highlighted in James. If we continue on to verse 16, James writes, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. There are so many different ways that we can stand for one another and come together in prayer and understand that our prayers are powerful and effective because, not because of our power, but because of the presence of the Holy Spirit and in his presence among us. Now, I want to take this moment to remind you of some opportunities you have to continue praying for your church family here. As you came in today, you should have received some prayer points. We're trying to get those to you every week. We have a prayer team that's putting those together, and we thank them for being alert and watchful for us and making us aware of those. Keep those in front of you throughout the week and be praying in those ways. Sometimes there'll be more general things, and then sometimes there'll be more specific things for our church. And if you have any kind of internet-connected device, I'm going to say, get that prayer app that we've been using. It's called Echo Prayer. Right? And talk to Becky Ruddy, our prayer coordinator, about how you can get connected to our True North prayer group. We have all kinds of prayer requests that are going out there week after week, specific needs and praises, and we praise God for the way he's answering those prayers. It's a great way for us to stay connected as a body in prayer. And so prayer is the final piece of this armor that Paul talks about. It is the peace in which we call upon the power of God. And I just want to wrap up this whole series on living out the gospel by saying God has given you some amazing and mighty tools to use to withstand against the devil's schemes. That attack that is designed to keep you from living fully for Christ is constant. We can't just lay our weapons down or lay our armor down and forget about it. We have to continue to draw on God's presence and the tools that he has provided us. Stay grounded in his word. Hold on to his truth. Hold on to the righteousness that he has given you. Become mature and strong in the Lord by living by faith and becoming more and more ready to apply that faith to your life. Understand this faith that we live in and stay grounded in it. And continue to call out to God in every situation. Fight the good fight day by day to embrace this new life that you have been given. Remember always that you are a new creation in Christ. You are not the person you used to be. Even though you may struggle with those old problems, you may struggle with sin, that is not your identification anymore. God doesn't see you that way. And he's giving you opportunity every moment of every day to live a completely new life, regardless of what has come before. So let's give thanks to God in this month of thanks for the power and strength that he has provided us. Let's make good use of the tools that he has provided, and learn to live that new creation. As we do that more and more, we'll have greater freedom in life, we will have greater joy, and we'll have greater fullness of the life that God has for us. Let's give him thanks as we close in prayer, celebrate with a song. Over the next few weeks, we'll turn our attention toward the coming Savior as we get ready for our Christmas celebration. So I hope to see you again next week, and look forward to starting to celebrate Christmas with you. So let's give thanks to God as we close our time today. Heavenly Father, I thank you. First of all, I thank you for the new life that we have through Christ. What an amazing gift you have given us. I can't thank you enough, Lord. Help us all to remain confident in who you've made us to be. And let us not just rest on being new in you, Lord, but let us continue to fight the fight that we need to fully embrace that life, to shed the old self, to live fully in the Spirit, Lord. I thank you for being with us, for being here with us in this moment right now. I pray that you speak to each person here as we start to close our worship service, Lord, about your presence with them, about whatever struggle might be on their hearts right now. You would let them be aware that you are there, that you know the way, that they have strength through you to accomplish whatever comes before them, that you are pleased with them as they continue to offer their lives to you, Lord. Thank you for being here today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.